Praise him, Turks. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all glory. Amen. And let me encourage you today, God heard your prayers. And as we pray those prayers, if we're in right relationship with God, God does a work that we can't explain. And sometimes we say things like, you won't believe it. Right? When we pray for something that we've been praying for quite some time and God answers that prayer, we say something like, it's unbelievable. It's incredible that this happened. And listen, the Bible says if you pray according to God's will, in Jesus' name, you have that prayer request done. You say, well, Pastor, that seems impossible. Well, God's the God of impossible prayers. Did you know that? Remember, it's according to God's will. How will you know the will of God for a circumstance, for a life, for your life? How will you know God's will? You must read God's word and get an understanding from his word what he says. We talked about this morning how hard a passage Hebrews can be, and really how redundant sometimes it seems like we're in Melchizedek. There's all kind of names that people want to, how we want to pronounce it. His name is King of Righteousness, King of Peace. And I was studying even this past week. I was like, Lord, we got Melchizedek in chapter 5. We got Melchizedek in chapter 6. We got Melchizedek in chapter 7. We got Melchizedek in chapter 10. Lord, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I'm pretty tired of reading about Melchizedek. And then the Lord Jesus Christ got me, and all you Bible study teachers, let me get you this morning. He said, Melchizedek is pre-incarnate Jesus. So if you're tired of talking about Melchizedek, you're tired of talking about Jesus. I said, forgive me, Lord, right? Because we get into his word, if we're not careful, we can get into a routine and get so, I know the answer, and we can get bored with God's word if we're not careful, especially the longer we read it, unless we read it with anticipation that he is coming. It's what the last book of the Bible says, last few verses, he is coming. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. So this morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We picked up from last week out of chapter 6. And we talked about the whole counsel of God. You know, it's if you imagine a pizza or a pie or whatever you imagine, and you only eat a portion. Has anyone ever had I like those key lime pies from Edisto, as most of you know. And when I go and buy one, the first thing I do is make a pot of coffee. I don't care what time of the day it is and how hot it is or how cold it is or rainy, I'm going to eat a piece of pie immediately before dinner. The pie's got to come first because you might die, right? You got to put, Wendy's taught me that, put dessert first because you might die. And so I eat a piece of pie, and then when I go back to get a pie like the next day or when it's hot, I like it when it's hot outside, and look in there and there's two or three pieces missing. What do I know? I have to put on my investigator hat and go find out who ate the pie. Now, the culprit usually is my daughter-in-law, and she loves the pie as much as I do. And most of the family doesn't like the pie, but Hannah loves the pie. And so I have to fight Hannah about taking my pieces of pie. And if she's watching today, I'll go ahead and ask for forgiveness ahead of time for calling her out. But we both love the pie. But y'all, listen, when you get the pie, there's a little twist of lime in the middle. And I take that and eat that too. I like lime a lot. I don't know why I wasn't raised eating lime, but I happen to like it. But the pie, when you come in, if something's missing, you know it's missing. Is that true? And what was it? Because I found out now they'll do half and half pies, half one of one kind and half of the other. And when you're there, if you know what you got, you know what you got, if you got the whole pie. Well, same thing about reading the Word of God. If you miss out on Hebrews, you skip out and say, I'm not going to read that because it's boring, or I've heard that before, or I know that. You miss out. The Bible doesn't call it like a pie, like I just gave it to you. The Bible calls it the whole counsel of God. We're commanded as preachers to preach the whole counsel of God, the stuff that we do like and the stuff that we don't like. We are required by God to preach all of it. God has given us a library. It's 66 books included in the Bible if you have the Old and New Testament. We have 66 books that we must preach through as God allows. And as we are here today in Hebrews chapter 7, it sounds like it's redundant, but you come back and actually God's going to give us a little bit more of the resume of Melchizedek, and we're going to actually see that actually there's an argument, is this Jesus? And I believe if he has no beginning and no end, he has no father, no mother, it has to be Jesus Christ when you study it, because otherwise it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God Melchizedek. And there is no fourth part of the Godhead. So let's look at the word of the day in Hebrews chapter 7, beginning of verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To him also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest for how long, church? Forever or continuously? Now, consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, that's the Levitical priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Verse 7. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he, what does your Bible say, lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Let's pray over this passage, because there's some good stuff coming out of this word, and I want you to see some things this morning as we pray. Father God, thank you for this word. Lord, bless the reading of this word to our hearts and the understanding to our head and hearts, that we might go out and, Lord, see this counsel of God, Lord, how it benefits us today, but, Lord, how it brings you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. If you have a copy of today's bulletin, the notes are there in your bulletin, and we encourage you. And by the way, if you're a guest with us today, we're glad you're here. We'd like to have a record of your attendance. Please fill that out, leave it in the seat, or drop it in the offering box this morning, the box this morning. And I want you to see this in the Word of God. Look at your notes if you see this. I'll just read this to you this morning. The Hebrew Scriptures provide a timeline, and today's letter is T, that spans approximately 1,656 years from Adam's creation to the beginning of Noah's flood. Because my brain works on major events in the Bible. So I've got to get a picture. I'm a very visual person. I want to see from Adam to Noah, how long was it from Noah? And then I want to continue to see Abraham, from Abraham to, and then how long was that total time? So if you look up and you find a different timeline, you'll find a similar timeline, estimated times. We don't have exact timelines, but we have close dates that you can find in Scripture. So continue this from the flood to the birth of Abram. There was about 292 to 352 years. That's the range. That's the range we found. Then from Abram to Moses, we find another 600 to 700 years. Throughout these generations, God specifically chose individuals, Noah, Abram, and Moses, and gave each of them a divine commission that would significantly impact the course of history. Would you agree with that, yes or no? Moses, he changed history because he was the giver of the law. Noah built the ark. We talk about he changed lives. We would not be here today had Noah not been obedient to God, because God said, I am sick. Did you know that God said this of us? And I think you would be thinking possibly this week, I am sick that I have made mankind. Did you know that God said that? He was so sick and tired of mankind, he was going to destroy everything that was living on the planet. But Noah was found righteous and his family. Now, sometimes you think about, well, God doesn't think of me that way, does he? Does he? Somebody tells us very clear. We play this game with each other. We play word games, especially in America, because we got to be politically correct all the time, and we don't want to upset anybody. We don't hurt anybody's feelings, and we don't want you to think about bad times. But we always say this. We say, God hates the sin, but God loves the sinner. And then we pass on and just excuse sin and keep walking and going, well, God hates the sin, especially the events that's happened in our culture in the last couple weeks. Evil has been rampaging out there. And I want you to understand something. God does hate the sin 100%. Would we agree there? The most liberal person on the planet and the most conservative person would say, God hates sin. Was that true? But we got to understand that it's not hatred like you and I hate. It's hatred from a holy hatred. God's hate is different than ours. We get mad at each other, and even little kids will tell their parents, I hate you. Or brothers and sisters say, I'll hate you. And You should discipline children for saying that, by the way. You should never say that to each other. But God has a holy hatred. God hates sin because his nature, his character is holy, and he cannot stand sin. But does God hate the sinner? Does God love the sinner? Well, we got a place. Does God love the sinner? The answer is, obviously, the Bible says, Jesus said himself, for God so loved the world, that's everyone in the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? So does God love the sinner? If you're saved this morning, you were a sinner and you're saved by the grace of God, so God loves the sinner. But can I tell you, you better keep reading all the scripture. The Bible says God hates the sinner as well in the Psalms. Why does God hate the sinner? Because the sinner is living a life contrary to his nature, God's holy nature. And you play the game. Choose your sin. Go ahead and if we had a Blinko game or something up here, we drop in the slot and it falls down, Blinko, and you have a score. Put any sin in that category. Choose the worst sin you can think about, put it in the category, and then choose the lightest sin that you can think of and put it in that category. What's going to happen if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you continually practice that sin? You know what the Bible says? Romans chapter 1 tells us, Galatians chapter 5 tells us, that those who continually practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does God love the sinner? Yes. Does God hate the sinner with holy hatred if he does not receive his son, Jesus Christ? So that love the sinner, hate the sin, that's fodder for conversation because we walk right past the sin. We don't acknowledge it in our families. We don't acknowledge it at work. We don't acknowledge it in our friend group because we all want to look over the sin because we know how bad a sinner we were ourselves or what we did. So we want to excuse everyone else's sin. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters and friends today, God's not excusing sin at all. He calls out sin. He says, the things that you do in private, I will make public. And the prayers that you pray, listen, this is amazing. The prayers that you pray private will come out in public oftentimes. God's a God who loves. So when we read here of Melchizedek, we go way back in time. We go back before Moses. Before the Levitical law, the priesthood of Melchizedek was formed. This is before the law. Before any priest ever existed, he's called the King of Righteousness. He's called King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. The King of Jerusalem, you'll see that later, because he's going to eternally be the King of Jerusalem. Did you know that, by the way? There's a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. If you read the scripture, who's going to be the King of Kings there? The KOK, the LOL. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us if you read the whole counsel of God. So we're looking way back in history, and we're seeing that God, what, was Jesus walking around on earth? Well, he was called the Son of God. You've got to remember this in your mind. God the Father is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Look it up for yourself. The Holy Spirit is what? It answers in the question. Spirit. Holy Spirit is moving all about. He's in our hearts. The Bible says he's in us to seal us to the day of redemption. But you got to remember, this time of Melchizedek, Jesus was not Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was Jesus. Because the Bible says, Hebrews 13:8, we'll get there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he was Jesus, but he didn't have the title of Jesus. He had the title Son of God. And he was given the title Jesus by Gabriel to Mary and Joseph. His name shall be called Jesus because he will save his people from their what? Sins. That was so we could identify who Jesus was. So God's never changed. God has always existed. And did you know that God has allowed angels to take on the form of man and walk among men and talk with men? Hebrews is going to tell us also in Hebrews 13, be careful to entertain strangers. But some of you have done that and you've entertained angels and you didn't even know it. Is God still sending angels today? I'm not really sure. We have the Holy Spirit. I don't need an angel today unless the Lord says I do. I have the Holy Spirit. I have God himself walking in me and with me. So when Jesus came and we received the full measure, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you've been given everything you need by the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, well, I don't feel like I am. It's because you walked away from God. You have left, not God. God never leaves. He never changes. He will not lie, and he cannot lie. We read last week, and he says that he is the same forevermore. So if you feel absent from God, it's not God being absent. It's you walking away and doing your own thing and saying, I just don't feel anymore. And brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. That's how we're living this morning. I told you we have a VeggieTale theology in this wild, wild world we live in. We have no answers for this week unless we dive into the Word of God and understand that evil is among us. That people, the whole desire of the hearts is evil. People mocking the things, murder, and people making fun, they're just accomplices with the person that pulled the trigger this week. I want to encourage you this week to look and see the Word of God, that God is very clear throughout time. He's had people. Was it evil in the days of Adam? Cain killed Abel with a rock. Killed his brother. Was it evil in the day of Noah? So evil, God said, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of humanity. But yet God had grace. Was it evil in the day of Moses? Yes, you think of the golden calf. Even after God was bringing them out, how awesome God was and how awful people are. Pick a time, pick a person in history, pick yourself and find out, what am I here for? I'm not just here to eat pizza, enjoy movies, enjoy family, and then call it quits and retire and die. That's not why you're here. You're here for a purpose. God has called you like he called these men and women of times past. You're here on this planet for a reason. The reason is to bring him glory, number one. Of course, we know that. And to enjoy his presence. How many of you are bringing him glory 7 days a week? How many of you are enjoying the presence of God? Like you actually are loving being in his presence. Or how many of you are like, I don't even know how to get there. I don't even read my Bible. I just get what I get on Sunday morning, hear the radio, and that's it. That's not enough. He's given you his word so that you can hear his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says clearly, you must be swimming, as it were, in the word of God. You must give yourself over to the understanding of the word of God, and then the Holy Spirit will teach you, and he'll move you in places this week. That, listen, yes, there's bad news, but I want to tell you, there was 2 10-year-old girls that gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ this week. That's some good news, is it not? That's eternal news that happened on campus. I know what's going on. I read some of the stuff going on nationally, but I know what's happening personally here in our hometown. I don't know what else happened. I don't know which house burned. I don't know who was arrested. I didn't read the crime blotter. I found out you find out what you want to know because you go looking for it. What happened what happened on Whiskey Road? What happened over here? I don't know. I wasn't there. Adrian told me there was a fire down in Granville, so I said, I didn't know it. I went down there. If you're not there, listen, what do we do? How do we find out what's going on around us today? We're more interested in what's happening on the national or the international scene than we are what's happening in our zip code. We got to be connected with the people that live where we live. We make a difference right here, right now, before we go there. We have to be making a difference with our neighbors. Even if you live on a farm in the middle of nowhere, you have neighbors to the left and right of you somewhere, behind you, in front of you. Listen, church, friends, you've got to be making a difference. If you're not a Christian today, listen, don't worry about this message. It's not for you. The message for you is give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and then get on board with his mission. But for the rest of us, listen, what have you done this week for the glory of God? Have you enjoyed his presence? These men did. The writer of Hebrews gives the name Abraham. If you go back and read, you understand, wait a minute, his name was Abram when this happened. He had a shorter name. Why did he get the longer name? Because he's going to be the father of what? Many, many nations. Go look at the sand. We'll see the sand of the sea later. We'll see the stars of the sky later. If you just looked up and said, God's going to give you this many grandchildren. Look up, everybody look up real quick. Just look at the lights, the little round lights above you. How would you feel if God says, hey, comes to you and says, I'm going to give you this many children or grandchildren? You'd be like, well, that's a lot. You're starting to think about Christmas presents, birthdays you'll forget, right? You're thinking, oh my goodness. God said, look at the sky. Look at the stars. Go out to the sands. Look, that's how many I'm going to give you. And how many of you have sang, Father Abraham had many sons? Any of y'all singing that song? Because we're part of who he's made us to be. Well, let's continue. God chose Abram. God blessed Abram throughout Abram's journey. God continually interacted with him, revealing his will, introducing him to Melchizedek. Melchizedek meets him as he comes back from war. He had his nephew was taken in battle, and all the plunder there of Sodom where he was living. Abraham packs up the boys, several hundred of them. They go after the kings. They beat the kings. They kill the kings. Bring back all the slaughter, all the cattle, all the lambs, whatever they would have of theirs and of the three kings. And he brings it back into town. And here Melchizedek meets him and offers him wine and bread, gives him sustenance. He refuels him to give him something actually to recharge from the hard work he was doing. In return, Abram gives a tithe. He gives a tenth of everything that he has. If he took 100 cows, he gives 10 back to Melchizedek. If he took 100 sheep, he gives 10 back. That's where, if somebody says tithing is not biblical, guess what? Well, the Bible just says Abraham gave back to Melchizedek. A righteous man who's been chosen by God, who's been blessed by God, turns back around and gives back to God 10%. You say, well, the New Testament tells us to be joyful givers. Well, at least buy a roll of toilet paper at church. Some of you have given zero to the Lord's work ever in your life. Now, I'm not saying just here at Town Creek. I don't know what people give, but Derek does. And I've asked him, I told him, send receipts saying thank you for your gift of nothing to the Lord's work this year. If you got that receipt this year, I'm sorry, but I really meant that with all my heart. Thank you for nothing, because you did nothing for the Lord's work. It takes money for the power bill. It takes money for this place. And some people say, Pastor, this room needs to be painted. Then give some money or come paint it yourself. Does that sound a little harsh this morning? It doesn't sound harsh if you've been giving. It doesn't sound harsh if you've been painting. It doesn't sound harsh if you've been cutting the grass. It doesn't sound harsh if you've been serving. It only sounds harsh if you're doing nothing for the kingdom of God, even at the place that you say you received the word of God. That should bring about conviction and make you mad and say, I'm never coming back to this church ever again. All that preacher talks about is money. I don't talk about money. Listen, the giving is not so you can actually give here. The giving to the Lord. Why did Abraham give? Melchizedek, as far as we know, there was no temple. There was nothing to buy. There was nothing. Melchizedek he's a being that obviously it's Christ pre-incarnate. He had no place to call home here. Why did Abram give? Because he recognized, we'll see in the notes, he recognized this is someone much higher than me, and the lesser always gives to the greater. If you were a warrior and you campaigned for the king, you would come back and say, my liege, and you would give the king the honor and say, listen, we brought all this spoils back to you. And the king would bless you and give you something back. Because if you go back and read the story in Genesis 14, there's another king, not the king of peace, but the king of Sodom says, listen, let me pay you for all your work, Abram. And Abram says, I will never take money from you because I won't let you have the credit of making me blessed. I'm not going to give to your worldly system. I'm going to give it to Melchizedek. I'm going to give it to a spiritual, godly, righteous way. How many of us give our tithe to Verizon? It's quiet in here, right? Because what is a cell phone payment a month? $80 a month? $100 a month? Do we tithe to the cable company? Do we tithe to the satellite company? Some of you will go tithe to your stomach when you leave this place. $50 meal is a tithe off $500. I don't know if you know that. $100 cable bill is a tithe off of what? $1,000. We will take, and we are the ones that will connect with the king of Sodom and say, listen, yeah, I'm with you. Here, bro, I'll give you some money. You give me all the good stuff of this world. And then, Lord, you want me to give some to you? I got nothing left. I spent it all on me. And myself and my family. Lord, you gave me my family. Surely you want us to have this brand new. Surely you want us to have this. And we continue to give to the king of Sodom, and we won't give anything of our lives to the king of peace, the prince of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when crisis hits, guess what we do? The first thing we do when crisis hits, we don't run to the king of Sodom, even though we do now, ChatGPT, right? People are going to AI and asking it for counsel. But guess what it's given us? We found out there was another suicide from a young man who asked for it, right? For emotions off. It'll give you like it's a real person, but it's not a real person. It's called artificial for a reason. I want you to see, brothers and sisters, as we look at these people in history and as we look at Melchizedek, God had a plan back in the Old Testament. God had a plan in the intertestamental time. God had a plan in the New Testament. God has a plan for the future. You and I are not here by accident today. God has a plan. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. God has a plan for you. You can encourage. You can pray. You can give and you can go. Listen, God has called us to a multitude of different things. I can't play any of the instruments that are on this stage. I'm thankful people can. I can't sing, but I'm thankful that people can. There's a lot of things I'm thankful for that I cannot do. I just want to give God praise. I want to wake up this morning and say, listen, what a beautiful morning. Windows are up. What a beautiful morning for God that he gave us. Have you told him thank you just this morning? Lord, thank you for the cool weather. Has anyone told him thank you this morning? It'd be high time to do that, don't you think? Thank you, God, for my Bible. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my food. Thank you, God, that you do the things that you do. Lord, I want to surrender fully to you. Help me, Lord. I'm yours. I swear I'll wake up in the morning. Lord, help me. Let's continue. You'll see this. After his courageous victory over the kings who had captured Abram's nephew Lot and plundered his city, Abram was met by Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, by the way, later, because Israel had not been formed yet, and priest of God Most High. Melchizedek greeted the victorious yet weary Abram with bread and wine and offered him holy blessings. He blessed Abram, calling him Abram of God Most High. How would you like to have that title? How would you like to be titled when you walk around and somebody says, who are you? And you say, well, my name is Clint, blessed of the God Most High. El Elyon, the highest name of God, right? I'm blessed by God. All-powerful God. And you say, well, who do you think you are? Can I tell you this morning, if you're a Christian today, that's who you are. If you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, that's who you are. My name is Clint Smith of the God Most High. Well, who do you think you are? My name is Clint Smith of the God Most High. I am his son. He calls me son. He is my father. You mean to tell me that you think God in heaven is your father? Absolutely. That's exactly right. He's my father. I'm his son. So if he's my father and he controls everything in this planet, he has all power, all knowledge. He's everywhere present. When I have a need, what do you think he's going to do if I'm faithfully walking in righteousness with him? Let me suffer over and over and over again. Some people say, well, if there's a good God, why does he let suffering happen in this world? Okay, I'll play that game with you for a second. Let's just unscrew the light bulb and take God out and put him in our pocket. There's no God. Is there still suffering in the world? Yeah, we're human and we're sinful and we're mean to the core. We do wrong things to each other. We say wrong things. We act wrongly. We do wrong things. We sin. Let's put God back in place because we can't remove him. Is God involved even in the bad things? Or does good come from the bad things that's happening in this society? Does good come from bad things that happen in our personal lives? If we allow God to use them, the answer is 100% yes. Yes, it does. All right, let's continue. I want you to see this. Well, he greeted him with bread and wine. He blessed Abram, called him to Abram of God Most High, and gave abundant glory to the possessor of heaven and earth, who had delivered Abram from his enemies. Who's the possessor of heaven and earth? Who is it? God Almighty, the Creator. In reverent response, Abram presented Melchizedek with a tithe, that is a tenth of all the choicest spoils of battle he'd gathered. This act demonstrated that Abram recognized Melchizedek as a priest with a higher spiritual authority than his own. Because Abram knew he was pretty special. He'd been called by God directly. Well, Melchizedek appeared at a precise historical time without father or mother, no ancestral lineage, no record of beginning or end. He is described as one made like the Son of God, a priest who remains without interruption and without successor. Melchizedek is understood by many scholars to be a Christophany. That's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ Jesus, foreshadowing the priest, or eternal priesthood of Jesus forever. It's a pretty staggering resume, is it not? How would you put your resume up next to his resume? How would you do that? Are you righteous like God 24/7? You're made righteous because of his blood. Whatever the king is, the children are. Did you know that? You inherit the blessings of God. So today, are you righteous in the sight of God? Even if you're not in right relationship right now, you're in right fellowship, you've gotten kind of contrary lately. let me tell you, you're still in right relationship. I told my kids they could paint themselves purple and move to the other side of the world and shave their head and say, I don't know that man. Sometimes they wish they could, I think. But they can never. If they take a DNA sample, guess what they find out? They belong to this guy and that woman right there. They can never escape. We are in relationship for eternity. Right? Even if we say, what if a kid didn't accept Christ? We're still in relationship because they belong, they're of me and their mother. So I want you to understand today, if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you're in right relationship today. Your fellowship might be kind of janky, but your relationship's tight. And God, all he wants you to do is come back. He invites you, come back. Come back and make it right. I'll give you a fresh start over and over again, because I've been here the whole time. It's you who has left, but it's me who will actually restore you. Finally, I want you to see this. Melchizedek, priest of the God Most High, appeared on the historical scene about 600 years before the establishment of the Levitical priesthood. The significant time gap underscores that Melchizedek's priesthood was distinct from and predates the Levitical or Aaronic priesthood that God later formally instituted through Moses. And I find it interesting, as I was studying, so this time gap of Melchizedek appearing with Abram and then later, 600 years potentially later, God establishes the Levitical priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood takes off, and you have to make, starts with Aaron, his sons, and then there's a succession, there's an order of the priesthood. You had to belong to the tribe of Levi. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, if you trace his lineage. Nobody from the tribe of Judah can be a Levitical priest, because you got to be from the tribe of Levi. Your last name, or how you fit in the category, if you're not from the tribe of Levi, you cannot qualify as a priest. But yet here's Jesus, the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah, qualifying as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, trace out the priesthood, and I found out as I carried the priesthood out, when did the priesthood of the Levitical order stop? You know where it stopped? Officially, in God's eyes, it stopped at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. The Levitical priesthood was over. But you know who killed the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, we did. We can say, I was there, my sin did it. We can say the Romans did it. We can say the Jews did it. But you know who ordered it? The Levitical priest. The old law crashed into the Melchizedek priesthood order, and the Levitical priesthood of the law consumed and asked for the death of Melchizedek, if you will, of Jesus Christ. The Levitical priesthood tried to consume the man law, tried to consume God's law through man, and man said, listen, they detoured from what Moses said, they detoured from what God said, and they used their office, not for God, but tried to destroy God. And I want to tell you today, every religion is still doing the same thing. Everybody's going to tell you, you got to do A, B, C, or D to be part of our church, to be part of our group, and we got to tell you, the Bible is very clear. You must give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's it. And you can go to heaven. The Bible commands us later. Jesus tells us you must be baptized to actually show that you actually are in obedience to Christ. But it does not save you. Baptism does not save you. So today as we read this, Melchizedek, this great man, this pre-incarnate Christ, I believe, it leaves us somewhere now. We don't have to figure out who Jesus is because we have a history. We celebrate December 25th, his birthday. We celebrate, oh, come Lord Jesus, come. We sing in church on Sunday. We celebrate at Easter. We celebrate other times, and we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. Can you celebrate so much that you just forget what you're celebrating about? Can the celebration take off from Jesus and take off to whom? Santa? Can it take off from Jesus and take off to another substitute at another holiday? Has it done that for you and for me? Or is Jesus Christ the King of peace in your heart? Is Jesus Christ the King of righteousness in your heart? Where do you stand with God this morning? Are you in right relationship first? Do you belong to him? Are you a son or daughter of Christ? And then the second question, are you in right fellowship with Christ? Have you been obedient through baptism? Have you been obedient through the things that he calls us to do? Are you obedient in prayer? Are you obedient even in fasting and praying? Are you obedient? And so, well, I don't know about all that stuff. Listen, then that's why you read the whole counsel of God. You must be a student of God through His Word. Let me pray for us today. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, we go back and look back at Genesis 14 and see that the king of Sodom was enticing Abram with all the stuff. I'll give you some stuff. And Abram was very clear, I'll never give credit to an earthly king for what God's blessed me with. I'll only receive the blessing. And I will not only receive the blessing, I will give the blessing back to God. So today, Lord, my challenge, I think, in our hearts is this, that we would give our lives first and foremost to the King Most High. And Lord, then in turn, we would invest our life in investing in the kingdom so that we can actually not take stuff with us, but send stuff on ahead. We can leave a legacy, Lord, where people actually say, listen, do you remember that guy? Do you remember that person? They love Jesus, and I want to be like them. Lord, help us, because we're weak, we're frail, and Lord, we lean towards sinning instead of holiness so many times until you bring us back correct. So today I ask you, Lord, would you correct the ship? Would you help us, Lord, be back in love with you? Because, Lord, you condemned even some of the churches of old for leaving their first love. Help us, Lord, not to leave you. May we come back, running back to you, Lord, to be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.